Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
You nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Sports Report brought to you by SportsAudio.net. I'm Packer Dave. We got a great show on tap for you today. The Packers are up against the Minnesota Vikings in Green Bay. The Bears play the Redskins in Chicago. We'll be talking to Kip Lewis from Comcast Sportsnet in Chicago about those games. And Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting went to Hallis Hall. Fresh off of that, he will be joining us in our next segment here on the program. Let's start with Green Bay. They come away with a win last week, 30-27 against the Chicago Bears. They're up 27-10 going into the fourth quarter, and Matt Barkley brings the Bears back, ties it at 27. Then, with less than 40 seconds left, Aaron Rodgers throws a bomb to Jordy Nelson. Mason Crosby kicks the field goal from short distance, and the Packers win the game. Ty Montgomery on fire with over 160 yards and two touchdowns. The guy, number 88 out of the backfield, has right now 390 yards rushing, and he's averaging 6.5 yards a carry for the Packers. So this is an unexpected surprise. Christian Michael also scoring a touchdown last week. He showed some flashes. So the Packers may have some backfield problems resolved. But again, Aaron Rodgers just coming through in the clutch. It was a fun game to watch. It was more of a nail biter than a lot of the Packer fans were looking for. But let's hear from Mike McCarthy on how Ty Montgomery started playing running back. Here's Mike McCarthy.
You know, we wanted to have a 1-2 type mentality of as far as the opportunity to put Poe, Ty, and Randall back there in a limited fashion. So obviously the way things have unfolded in Ty's, you know, opportunity to play running back has been maximized, and he's maximized the opportunity. So, I mean, there was always a packages and a thought process of having Ty back there.
Okay, and, you know, Randall Cobb, no carries last week. So you can see that they like Montgomery and then Michael as a backup. Let's hear from Ty Montgomery on his game last week.
My thing is I'm going out there trying to do the very best that I can, but I'm not trying to live up to any numbers. I have a standard that I want to try to meet, but the numbers aren't always going to meet that standard. I mean, it's about how I play the game, how I execute things, my fundamentals, my technique. And if the numbers end up being as high as they were, you know, I'm grateful. But, I mean, to try to be realistic, I don't think, you know, I can put up 160-some rushing yards every single game. I mean, I'm going to be nice to, strive for. I'm not going to rule it out, but that's not what I'm trying to live up to, if that makes sense. Finishing runs, breaking tackles, we talk about that a lot. Ball security, protecting the quarterback, knowing my assignments. I'm executing, winning my one-on-one battles, executing the fundamentals, just certain things like that.
All right, Ty Montgomery, Packer running back slash receiver. And I found it interesting. Last week we had John Fox, a clip from John Fox, and he said, well, Ty Montgomery was relegated to the running back position. Relegated? I don't think he looked like relegated last week. Big game against the Bears for Ty Montgomery. Jordy Nelson also having a great season, over 1,000 yards receiving and 12 touchdowns at this point. He was not selected to the Pro Bowl, but he would be an alternate if somebody or a couple guys had to bow out of that. So look for that maybe to happen. The guys that did make the Pro Bowl for the Packers, T.J. Lang, Aaron Rodgers, and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Let's hear from T.J. Lang on his Pro Bowl selection.
Yeah, I think I was definitely surprised. You know, not only with you know, the injuries I went through this year, missing a couple games. Honestly, you know, after missing out last year, I kind of started to lose hope a little bit. But, yeah, it was definitely a huge surprise. So, as a player, you obviously have team goals that come first, but everybody has personal goals. And I think to be named to a Pro Bowl is definitely on everybody's list. It's been on mine for a long time now, so it's definitely just a tremendous honor.
Now, the Vikings get thumped last week by the Indianapolis Colts in Minnesota. That was a tough game for the Vikings. They needed it and really laid an egg. Let's hear from quarterback Sam Bradford on where the Vikings are at this point.
You know, it's been a long past 9 weeks or so. Yeah, obviously we started out, hot, winning five in a row, and then, we've hit a little bit of a rough patch, but, I think that's kind of how, most seasons in this league go. There's ups and downs, and, you've got to continue to fight, when things take a turn, and, you're not playing your best. You've got to figure out a way, to get back to playing at a high level, and so obviously we've got a big game against Green Bay. I think this game means a lot. To everyone in this locker room, to everyone in this town. And so, obviously after last week, we want to go out there and play better, and play the way we know we can.
Packers and the Vikings, noon kickoff at Lambeau Field. And then it's the Redskins against the Bears in Chicago, also noon kickoff. Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting went to Hellas Hall. We'll hear from him coming up next here on the Sports Report, brought to you by SportsAudio.net. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to have you with us. We're going to have a good time on the show, so stay with us.
A cozy fire can really set the mood, but don't let that mood turn sour. I'm Danny Lipfer with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll look at your choices for fireplace fuel right after this.
The kitchen is often the center of entertainment in the home, but it's also one of the main sources of pollutants. That's why it's important to ventilate your kitchen properly. Make sure to use your kitchen range hood every time you cook and to keep the hood on for at least 10 minutes after you've finished cooking. Many Barone range hoods feature an automatic delay timer, which can help you accomplish your ventilation hands-free. You can learn even more at Barone.com. Barone Newtone, bringing fresh ideas home.
Whether you're looking for supplemental heat or maybe a touch of romance to your evening, a roaring fire is definitely a great choice. But if you burn the wrong type of wood, your best intentions will quickly go up in smoke. When choosing wood for a fireplace, the key word is seasoned. That means, in the most basic sense, that you don't want to use firewood from a tree that you just cut down because there's still too much moisture in the logs. Softwood reaches good seasoning in 6 to 12 months, while hardwood takes a bit longer. Lumber scraps are also often used, but don't ever use lumber that's been pressure treated because it can release volatile chemicals into your rooms. Finally, always make sure to open the damper before lighting any fire to make sure the smoke goes outside where it belongs. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
For 50 years, I have been in charge of Christmas. I've jingled your bells and I've roasted your chestnuts. This Christmas, you goons can just rump-a-pum-pum without me.
Hey, Packer Dave, this is Bob Costas. You know, it's one thing to root for the Packers. It's one thing to relive the glory of the Ice Bowl and the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. It's quite another to have your entire life narrated by John Facenda. Quite another to live by every precept set down by Vince Lombardi when you're just a guy wearing a cheesehead hat and sitting behind a microphone. You're not Bob Skoronski. You're not Fuzzy Thurston. You're not even Chuck Mersine. Packer Dave, get a life, please.
Well, at least I thought I was on the Chuck Mersine level. Back on the show, the Sports Report, brought to you by SportsAudio.net. I am Packer Dave. A lot of big games in the NFL this week with playoff implications. Miami at Buffalo, and Washington needs a win at Chicago, of course. Minnesota at Green Bay. We've covered a lot of that. Looking down the slate here, Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Tampa Bay certainly needs a win, and if you're a Packer fan, you're hoping they lose. Indianapolis at Oakland. That'll be a big game, and Indianapolis certainly needs it. Let's hear from Coach Chuck Pagano on Oakland's team offense and defense. Here's Chuck Pagano.
These guys got a heck of a roster. Line of scrimmage, offensive line, big, tough, well coached. Mike Tice does a great job. He's done a great job for a long time. Got the quarterback, he's playing extremely well. You know, Cooper, Crabtree, good a combo as there is in the league. You know, right now, tight ends, Murray, you know, Rashard, Washington, got three runners, you know, got a big one. Kind of like a Darren McFadden type guy, downhill guy between the tackles, athletic enough and fast enough to bounce it outside, break a lot of tackles, things like that. You know, six rank offense, six rushing, six passing, they're very, very balanced. Again, the quarterback's doing a great job. 25 touchdowns and only six interceptions. He's making great decisions. He's taking care of the football. Defensively, got a bunch of talent. Take the ball away at a high rate. 26 takeaways to this point. Turnover margin, our number one National Football League, plus 15.
All right, and another game with playoff implications on Saturday night, Christmas Eve, Cincinnati at Houston. And then Sunday, Christmas Day, Baltimore at Pittsburgh, that's a big game. And then the night game, Denver at Kansas City, both of those with big playoff implications. And if throughout the show I say the Packers or Bears on Sunday, it's just because I'm not smart enough to put that in my head that it's Saturday. So I'm just, that's a disclaimer right here. Now let's bring in Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting. He visited Hallis Hall this week like he does every week. Steve, welcome to the show. And even though the Bears have been losing lately, except for that win against San Francisco, they have played hard and had a chance to win all these games.
Yeah, the Bears, I think their last four losses are by a combined 18 points. And, you know, that doesn't, most 3-11 teams would usually not have that.
Okay, now defensively, they broke down at the end of the game last week and allowed Aaron Rodgers that long pass to Jordy Nelson, and eventually Mason Crosby kicked the game winner there. But let's hear from the defensive players from the Bears. Here's defensive back Tracy Porter on the Redskins receivers and on Kirk Cousins. Here's Tracy Porter.
Deshaun and Pierre, those guys, you know, I played with those guys when I was there. So, you know, those two guys, they speak for themselves. But the young guy and Crowder, you know, he's coming along. Jordan Reed, I mean, you know, there's another guy that I played with. He's had, you know, he's had talent. So they added it with Vernon Davis. I mean, they have some weapons out there. So it's going to be another challenge for us defensively, not just in the secondary, but, you know, even with the linebackers covering those guys. So we have to hone in and be up to the task.
When you look at Kirk Cousins on film, what do you see that makes him such a dangerous quarterback?
He goes through his reads. I mean, you know, he's not a guy that's going to read one side of the field. He's going to try to go through his progressions if his offensive line allows him to. And if you allow a quarterback to go through his progressions and make those good decisions and not feel rushed, you know, in the pocket, he's going to be able to put up, you know, points and yards as such as he's doing this year.
The Redskins did not look good against Carolina on Monday night. So they can't be happy with losing these games, though, Steve. You were there. I mean, there's still got to be a sense of frustration there that they're not winning these close games.
Well, of course, there's a sense of frustration. We're going to hear that in our next clip, and I hope our guests will talk about it. One of the things that's so interesting is that you've covered teams, I've covered teams. You get to this stage of the season, everybody's just kind of playing it out. They're just, sometimes it seems like they're there collecting a paycheck, but you just don't sense this. It seems this team, they're still hungry. There's still things like they've got something to prove, even though there's absolutely nothing to prove. I just don't see that sense of desperation and that sense of futility that I've seen with this very same organization, this stage where the teams were doing just as badly.
All right, here's Bears linebacker Pernell McPhee on these losses.
No, man, I ain't never happy with a loss. I'm very disappointed with the losing. Well, I can't say disappointed because we have played, but I'm not happy. I'm not, you know, whatever. I'm just, you know, it's frustrating. You feel me? Like you come in and put in all the work and you lose. So I can't say I'm happy with how we stayed in, because if I'm happy with we stayed in, that means I'm happy that we losing. Guys like me and you know, the guys who they put in position to make plays, you know, got to make the plays when the game on the line. Like, I got to win my one-on-ones when the game on the line and go make a big play and not try to wait on the next person to make big plays. So guys really just got to hold themselves accountable of making big plays and winning the game.
The other thing you see, Dave, is because of the number of injuries, you've got a lot of players that are first, second, third year in the league. In some ways, they're playing for their jobs. They're out trying to prove themselves, and that's kind of unique. You know, it's different scenario this year with a lot of players trying to see if they can stay on the team next year.
Now, Steve, let's look at the Pro Bowl. A lot of good picks, but then every year there are some people that don't get on that you think might have deserved a chance on the Pro Bowl. A lot of people thought Drew Brees should make it, but their team is losing. So that has is a factor, of course. But what stands out as far as Pro Bowl selections?
Well, I would say, yeah. I mean, you're not going to take him in place of Dak Prescott. You're certainly not going to take him in place of Aaron Rodgers, and you're not going to take him in place of Matt Ryan. So probably if one of those guys is in the Super Bowl or in the championship games, then I bet you that we'll see Drew Brees come in as an alternate.
And now we bring in sports anchor from Comcast Sportsnet Chicago and son of former offensive coordinator for the Packers, Sherman Lewis. Here's Kip Lewis. Kip, welcome to the program today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Doesn't it feel good to be involved in some Packers stuff here a little bit? You know, after a 3-11 Bears season so far, you get to maybe talk a little Packer football, a little winning football. Doesn't that make you feel good a little bit, doesn't it?
Hey, Packer fans didn't feel that way about 4 weeks ago, though.
Yeah, but that's the past. We don't dwell on the past.
Oh,
this
no.
Yeah. Mostly because the past sucks as bad as the present on this show. You know, it's never been good. But anyway, it's good when you're on. So we appreciate you coming on. Anyway, the Bears and the Washington Redskins in Chicago. I guess nobody cares about the Bears at this point. But as a Packer announcer and enthusiast, I look here for a Washington loss, and I have rooted for the Bears two of the last 3 weeks because we needed them to beat Detroit. They didn't do it, and hopefully they can do this in Chicago against a not-so-impressive Washington Redskin team. So first off, your thoughts on this game coming up because the Bears almost pulled it off against Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, and really the Bears, I mean, if you look at the way they've played over the last really month of the season, they've been close in every game. The problem that they've had really is just the inability to close out games. And I mean, the guys have talked about that week in and week out. And I mean, you know, you look at, they make a lot of mistakes. I mean, certainly I think a few weeks ago they had 10 guys that were starting that would not have been starting at the beginning of the season. So you're talking almost half of your starters on offense and defense, you know, lost for this part of the season. So they've got a lot of young guys that, unfortunately for Bears fans, you know, have made some key mistakes, whether it's, you know, dropping passes, blown coverages, you know, even in Barkley's situation last week, a couple, you know, bad throws that really hurt the team. So, you know, if they can clear that up, I mean, here's what I'll say about them. For a team, I've covered a lot of teams, not many bad teams like this, in terms of their record, but they play hard every week. And I think that's a credit to the coaches. And I think to some of the character of the guys on the team that, you know, even when they've been down in games, they haven't quit. They found some ways to come back. I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game. And I know, you know, Washington certainly has a lot more to play for than the Bears do. But I think when you're in the Bears locker room and you talk to these guys, they still have a lot of pride. They're not like a lot of teams you see at this point in the season where they're going to throw in the towel. So I would expect a pretty good effort from them against a team, obviously, that's trying to get in the playoffs.
All right. Now, Matt Barkley had three interceptions last week, but one of them was a Hail Mary to the end zone at the end of the first half.
Right.
You can kind of throw that one out. And then there were two other passes, and I think one of them, a receiver, broke a route. So I don't know even if both of those were his fault. I think maybe one of them was. Can you agree with me on that?
Yeah, you know, and I was not there Tuesday when Barkley talked, and I don't know if he would admit it or not, but when I saw the replay of the first, and I believe it was the first interception, it looked like he threw it right to the safety, but it looked like he was expecting Daniel Braverman, who's only played a couple games, he's a rookie,
yep,
to cut across the safety's face. At least to me, that's where he threw the ball, and instead of breaking across the safety's face, Braverman kind of continued up the field. And it didn't make a lot of sense because basically he was running right into the safety at that point. So I would agree. I think really one, you know, he probably should have had just one interception. And I will say this, Barkley, for a guy, you know, people are kind of like, oh, well, maybe he's not a long-term solution or maybe he's not a real starting quarterback in this league. But you know, anyone that followed him, his junior year in college, he would have been a top 10 pick in the NFL. He had that shoulder, I believe it was a shoulder injury his senior year. He fell to the fourth round. But had he been a first-round pick, everyone would be yelling, why is he not playing? Why is he not in the game? And when you see him and listen to him in the locker room, he's a guy that he has the confidence of a first-round guy. He handles himself with the media like he's, you know, a starter. So I think he's going to play. I actually think he'll play really well in this game just for the fact that he's got another game under his belt. And there's no question that the coaches and the players, especially on the offense, believe in him.
And by the way, Dave, Kip's Own Station on Tuesday night ran an online poll for their listeners. And the question was, not only should Barkley come back, which they overwhelmingly said yes, they also felt the majority of the listeners, viewers, I guess it would be, said he should start for the Bears next season.
Well, I watched him over the past several weeks. He could have won the Tennessee game if they make a catch. At the end of the Detroit game, they had a bunch of penalties, and then on the fourth down, there was a drop pass, and they could have kept going in that game. Last week against the Packers, the Bears were down 27-10, and in the fourth quarter, he brings him back 17 points. He looks like Joe Montana, and they almost beat the Packers, you know, if it wasn't for their defensive breakdown there at the end. They would have had a good chance at doing that. Right. I think he's done a great job. I've watched a lot of bad Bears quarterbacks in the past. How long have I been watching Bears football? The last 45 years. He's one of the better Bears quarterbacks I've seen, and I've only seen a handful of games. So right. I think he deserves definitely a shot next year. I'm surprised Steve didn't bring up the fact that he's gone to a lot of USC games. You know, Steve likes to get on this show and talk about how he travels and goes to all the big, you know, stadiums and all of that. And Steve has seen 10 Matt Barkley games in Los Angeles, Kip. Did you know that?
Yeah. No, I didn't. But I will say this. I wouldn't, you know, and I know some Bears fans would go crazy with me saying this, but with this system, and I'm a strong believer in that certain systems fit certain guys well. And you'll see, you know, every year you see guys in the NFL leave a team, and they're great at one team, and then all of a sudden they just, for whatever reason, it doesn't work. I think we saw it even, you know, with a guy like Ndamukong Suh, which is a little bit rare in the defensive line when he first went to Miami. But, you know, you see it a lot with quarterbacks, receivers. We saw it with DeMarco Murray when he went to Philly, and now all of a sudden he's in Tennessee. And I'm not – listen, if you look at the numbers of Brian Hoyer and compare his numbers to Jay Cutler and Matt Barkley, of the three of them over the same number of starts, Hoyer's numbers are much, much better. And Hoyer, I thought, had a great grasp of this system. And he's a guy just from me sitting in the press box and you watch him you know, just sort of his command, the way, you know, he took his steps and threw the ball. You could tell he knew where to go with a football. And I wouldn't be opposed. And I think my gut feeling is that you will see Brian Hoyer back here. Hope possibly Barkley. I think Barkley's could, you know, if Barkley plays well the next couple of games, I think they could be in a bidding war with some people for Barkley. And then I, you know, people forgot about Connor Shaw, who I think the Bears really liked and, you know, sort of snapped his leg in the beginning of the preseason. But I wouldn't be surprised. I got a feeling that they're going to definitely want Brian Hoyer back here. And I think he'll get the first shot next year. And maybe if they can sign Barkley, I think those guys would be competing at the beginning of training camp.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I think Hoyer will kill you. I think that this Matt Barkley has something that he can actually win games, bring you back. He showed me a lot in the last few weeks. And, you know, a lot of the mistakes that have happened really have, for the Bears, I mean, the overall team, the offense, haven't been his fault. All right, Steve.
Well, there's one name that has not been in that conversation, which is Jay Cutler. So does that infer that Cutler is gone?
He's done.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Kip. I can't see any way. Shape or form. And I would agree with Dave. I think if they had a choice between, if they had a choice between Hoyer and Barkley, my gut feeling is they would go with Barkley because he's younger. And people, here's a guy, he didn't play for 4 years. So the fact that he's playing this well right now with a team that he was not on during training camp and had missed 4 years of play, to me, that you have to look, and actually Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, kind of touched on this yesterday, is that you have to be able to sort of project, where is this guy going to be when he gets a whole off season in one system? He gets an entire, preseason with a team and 1 year under his belt. I mean, you kind of have to project that. And I think they would look at him as probably a 27-year-old guy that they could get a lot out of, over the next several years, if they believe he can be a starter.
With a healthy core of wide receivers.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think that's something they've got to figure out for sure. I mean, I don't know what the Alshon situation is going to be. Who knows what Kevin White's going to turn into.
Yep.
I'm not like everyone else. I think some of these other young guys they have right now are good enough, 3 and 4 and 5 receivers. But, I don't know what you're going to do with the whole Alshon situation. I think that's going to be a big decision for them as well. And to get to your question, I don't think what we heard John Fox say about Jay Cutler when Hoyer was starting, he basically said, if I see a guy performing, speaking of Brian Hoyer, that I don't foresee making a change at the position. So he had the opportunity to say that Jay Cutler is our quarterback when he's healthy, which is what you would say if it was Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, any of those guys. He didn't say that about Cutler, so my gut feeling is they'll part ways with him.
All right, Kip Lewis with us. He's a sports anchor for Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. And we've been talking too long about a 3-11 team here, Kip. Let's turn it to a winner, the Packers now. They're winners of their last four games. And you, of course, your dad, Sherm Lewis, former offensive coordinator for the Packers, give us one of your great Packer memories of living in Wisconsin and growing up around the green and gold. Warm our hearts here.
Seeing
the
state line in the rearview mirror.
Well, first of all, I didn't grow up there. My dad wasn't coaching there until I was, I was probably 30 at the time. So I was
just
already
pretend.
Out of college and done
just
playing.
Just pretend.
But yeah. But I enjoyed it. I mean, I worked there for 3 years at the local Fox station. And
right.
So, the 2 years I was there, the Packers went to the Super Bowl. The one memory I have is actually a picture that I still have up. And that is when they beat the Carolina Panthers, I believe, in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau.
I was there, yeah.
We ended up doing a post-game show outside. It was supposed to be an hour. It ended up being 2.5 hours. I remember that I've never been so cold in my life, and I saved the picture, and so did the other guys I worked with, because I was pretty sure I would never be that cold again, and I was right. And it was a miserable post-game show. So from a work standpoint, that's what I remember. But we had a lot of fun. I mean, Green Bay is a unique place to work. I mean, I knew when I left that I'd never work in a place like that. It's just, because it's that small town atmosphere, we did our pregame show in the parking lot. We had these grill masters come out, and they brought a big grill out, and they did brats. And, Green Bay people, everyone's drinking beer and drunk by 10 o'clock. Half of them don't remember the game. We had bands come out and play, and, we had fans just stand around the set and talk. And it's stuff you don't really do in bigger markets or in big cities. So that was always fun, and everyone knew. If you worked in TV in Green Bay and covered the Packers, all we did at my station was do Packers stuff year-round because we were at the Fox station. And, you'd have these 80-year-old ladies stopping you in the grocery store asking you about a draft pick and what do you think. And it was an interesting place to work. And it was a lot of fun, though. I mean, when I look back on it now, we were all in a hurry to get out of there. But I still keep in touch with all the guys that I worked with at that station. And we always laugh about how much fun we had over those 2 or 3 years there.
You never seen any drunk Bear fans in the parking lot, Kip?
Not by noon.
I'm not in the parking lot. Because it was different there because we actually did our show in the parking lot. And in Chicago, all I do is park and walk into the stadium. So I'm sure they're there. I just don't have to. I don't come across it. Green Bay, I walked from my station, which was across the street from the stadium. We basically walked out our door of our station WLUK. We walked through the parking lot, 45 seconds to where our outdoor set was. So, I mean, you talk, we were literally in the middle of everything.
That's perfect.
So it was a unique situation.
You could have got liquored up in the parking lot doing your job and just walked back to the station. No driving. It was perfect for you.
Trust me. I thought about it on certain occasions for sure.
He goes past the tractor parking lot, the Piggly Schmiggly.
Hey, let's get the tape of me at the post game of that, Steve. I think I had a few during the. Well, no, I'm a professional broadcaster. That couldn't have happened. Never could have happened. I think at the whatever that hotel is right there by the stadium where I stayed overnight. I think by that time there may have been some libations down.
Is it the old Midway?
Yes. Yes, I stayed there that night. The only time I ever stayed there.
And he remembers.
The Midway's been around for a while.
Is it by the hour now, or is it still? Well, I don't know. Kip Lewis with us, a sports anchor, Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, and I'm looking for the Bears to get a win. I think they can do it, Steve. Washington, Chicago. Final thoughts here from you on this topic, and then we're going
to
move.
I think he's right. The Bears might actually finally be able to pull one out. They may finally get all the pieces as best as they can in the right place.
And you, Kip, what about you? You think the Bears can finally win one here?
I actually do. I mean, I've watched every week. I keep thinking, hey, listen, I thought they were going to win last week. I really thought that they'd find a way, to pull it out. So, and just being around the team, like I said, they're still a hungry team. And regardless of what happens, these last two games, they're going to continue to play hard. So I would not be surprised if they got this win Sunday over the Redskins.
All right, Kip. Well, thanks very much for coming on the program. What, Steve? Steve always makes these motions at me while I'm trying to close out the deal. And then I'm like, what do you want? Steve, what do you want? I see you holding up a remote. What do you want?
Yes, are we going to close now?
Yes. Good. You know, Kip, we've only been at this for about 20 years. So we're just kind of getting into the groove. So, hey,
I know. It takes a while.
You've been a good sport. Thanks for coming on, and you have a great day. Hopefully the Bears can make it to, say, 4-12 and really wrap up the season on a high note. Take care.
All right, thanks. Take care.
And we'll be back with more. You're listening to the Sports Report on sportsaudio.net, brought to you by sportsaudio.net. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal. Hang around on the show. A lot more coming back.
If you find yourself with one or more unused rooms in your house, think twice before closing the door. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll uncover the myths and the facts about closing off rooms in order to save energy right after this. Windows are a prime spot for energy loss, but you can add a barrier against the winter chill by installing Duck Brand Roll-On Window Kits. Designed with ease in mind, Roll-On Window Kits come with a pre-taped edge for easy application, require no measuring, and fit the window frame for an airtight seal. Also look for Duck Brand's heavy-duty window kits. They're 2 times thicker and more puncture-resistant than standard window kits. Keep warm and save with Duck Brand. Find Duck Brand weatherization products at duckbrand.com. It's not uncommon for people who have an unused room in their home to close off the air vents and shut the door in an effort to conserve energy. It's only natural to think that by eliminating an area to be heated or cooled, you will save money. But the truth of the matter is that in many cases, you'll do more harm than good. Central Heating and Air Systems today are balanced for the homes they service. By shutting off one or more rooms, you throw the system out of balance, causing the unit to cycle on and off more frequently, which costs you more money. So keep the balance in your home and in your heating and cooling system. Keep those doors and vents wide open. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense. But the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the dwarf cave, not a creature was stirring, not even drunk Packer Dave. The shot glasses were lined up on the bar with care, in hopes that Jack Daniels soon would be there. The Packer fans were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of Super Bowls danced in their heads. Dave was passed out, still wearing his cap. Boy, the bathroom floor sure is a funny place for a nap. When out on the driveway, there arose such a clatter. I sprang from my car to see what was the matter. Not far away, I heard a funny sound. Probably more Packer Dave's vomit hitting the ground. But what to my glazed eyes should appear but a big-ass beer truck and 8 drunk little reindeer. Now Budweiser. Now Lionese, now Amstel, and Beck's, on Miller, on Heine, on Old Style, and Dos X. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the street the prancing and pawing of each little cleat. Dave's cheeks were so rosy, his dimples, how merry! His stomach was empty, and he smelled like bad sherry. His little weasel mouth was drawn up so cute, and under Packer Dave's chin, some dried leftover puke. He sprang to his beer truck and gave the team a whistle. And away they flew like a Brett Favre missile. But I heard him exclaim, "Hey, Weasel, don't you know? After 5 or 6 drinks, please, Packer Dave, just say no."
Hi, this is Dan Patrick. One quick message for you, Packer Dave. It's really, really brief and to the point. You're in fuego.
That's right. I am in fuego. But even more in fuego are the Green Bay Packers riding a 4-game winning streak as they go into their contest. Well, you know, we could not do this whole thing without the support of our sponsors. And here is one of our favorites, Chunky Cheesy Cheddar Brats.
It's Cheddar Brat time.
It's Cheddar Brat time.
It's Cheddar Brat
world.
It's Cheddar Brat
world.
So take a Cheddar Brat
break.
So take a Cheddar Brat
break.
All your boys and girls.
All your boys and girls.
Yes, it's true. Packer backers love the taste of fatty meat byproducts jammed inside of animal intestines. So if you think that's a yummy treat, you'll just love Chunky Cheesy Cheddar Brats.
Chunky Cheesy Cheddar Brats are the best. Take a big bite, grease drips on your chest. Big hunks of cheese jammed in with the meat. Chunky cheesy cheddar broth can't be beat.
So if you love a piece of meat spurting globs of flavor in your mouth, then you'll just love a chunky cheesy cheddar broth rammed down your throat.
Mmm, yummy. It's a taste sensation.
Chunky cheesy cheddar brats, available at Vomitix, Spiel Bosco, and all Piggly Schmigglies.
Now let's turn our attention to other sports, including baseball, hockey, and even soccer. And we bring in from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, our professor of sports, John Poulter. Welcome, John. How are you today?
Doing very well, thanks. Hope the two of you are doing well, too, in this holiday season. And as always, good to be with you and talk sports.
All right. Great to be with you, too. Steve, say hello to John.
Hi, John. I'm sure outside of the curling season, this is probably the highlight of his week.
Probably. You're very close. You're very close. Mm-hmm.
Okay, John. You know, John, Steve and I do a home improvement show. We don't know anything about home improvement, but we've had this show.
We don't know anything about sports either.
No, we do know about that. That we do know about. But, you know, we've had this show for like 20-some years, Home Improvement USA. We have great guests, though, and we do ask questions that make sense.
I've been one of those guests, so I can attest to that.
Where's this going?
Okay, well... So we're recording a segment, John, this last week, and we have a guy from Underwriters Laboratory, John Dragenberg. You may
You probably have heard him. Maybe you have.
Yeah, I've actually spoke to him when I've guested on your show. So yeah, I know of John quite well.
Okay, excellent. And so he's been at his job 50 years, and he was on the show, you know, talking about you well and all. And then he says, you know, I'm thinking of retiring, and I don't know. I really love my work, so all of that. And Steve says to him, well, you know, John, when people retire and they're not at their passionate job, sometimes it's just, he tells him he's going to die.
I said, if they don't have hobbies that to really like, it can be less than ideal.
Can you? I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm going, Steve, you don't tell somebody on the show that if they retire, they're going to go, but he did. He did. You see,
well, don't be surprised if the next time he sees your number on call display, he doesn't pick up, Steve.
What do you mean? That's always the case. I got to like email him. I got to go through security. I got to call the wife.
He's talking about John. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. I wanted to share it with somebody. We're going into our 25th year working together. Somehow it's worked. I don't know. But it was just funny to me. Okay, let's start with baseball here, John. Free agency in the offseason. Anything happening?
No, we're sort of in a little bit of a lull right now. And I suspect that with the holiday season coming up in the next few days, we're probably not going to see too much now until the beginning of the year. I'd have to think that some of these guys are starting to not exactly panic, but certainly have some concerns about where they may fit in, because clearly there will be less suitors, as some teams have already stepped forward and signed some guys, and maybe some of these players are beginning to think they've overpriced themselves. So we may see some guys signing some short-term contracts, but I expect it to be quiet for the next week or so.
Any names in particular that stand out?
Well, yeah, I guess from my part of the world, Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista would be the two that sort of jump out. They both anticipated getting big contracts. Bautista was very open about how much money he wanted, and I think he's going to have to eat some crow and sign a short-term contract with somebody, maybe even Toronto. Encarnacion, his agent is indicating there's four or five teams have offered multi-year deals, and he's sitting mulling them over, but no one's jumped out yet, so I have to wonder just how hot that market might be.
All right, John, now in hockey, your Toronto Maple Leafs, a good young team right now. Let's touch on them and the rest of hockey, and then after that, we'll move on to soccer.
Well, the Leafs continue to do some rebuilding. They're doing it at the youth level. We talked about this last week. They're currently 11 points out of a wild card spot in the rather competitive Eastern Conference. So I got to think it's going to be tough to make the playoffs this year. And that's sort of all part and parcel of this long-term plan that President Brendan Shanahan has put in place. For many, many years, the Leafs went the wrong way. They did it Yankee style and signed guys to big contracts for past performances, none of which panned out too well. I think they're doing the right thing. They're building with youth. I think we're on the upswing, but we're still fairly well down on that curve. So I got to think it's going to be 2 or 3 years before they're a really competitive team, but certainly an exciting team to watch. They don't seem to be able to hold on to leads, which I guess is a sign of a young team. But from a fan standpoint, I think most of us in Toronto here feel that they are finally doing the right thing.
And the rest of the NHL, what's standing out right now?
Well, we talked last week about Philadelphia, and when we talked last week, they had won 10 in a row. They've sort of tailed off a little bit. And one of the things I think that we have to look at with Philadelphia that we didn't touch on last week was that they've had a fairly strong dominance of home games. I think they've played 35 games, and 20 of those have been at home, and they've played very well at home. So there might be that evening out factor when they get on the road. Chicago continues to roll. They didn't do very well against Ottawa this week. They played Ottawa, I believe it was on Tuesday night, and struggled for a little bit. Were behind for most of the game and ended up losing by one, but they still have a fairly healthy lead in the Western Conference. Minnesota is still 6 points behind them, but Minnesota now has 4 games in hand. Granted, you've got to win those games. But I'd like to see Minnesota make up those games, and let's see just how tight that race is going. And the Eastern Conference continues to be either competitive or mediocre, whichever way you want to look at it. We've got a couple of teams at the top. that are playing very, very well. And I know that particular category, I'm looking at Pittsburgh, the Rangers, and Montreal. And perhaps the biggest surprise of the season in the Eastern Conference is the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're sitting third in the Metropolitan Division. They are only a point behind Pittsburgh and the Rangers. And if anybody had said in September that by Christmas time we'd see Columbus, Pittsburgh, and the Rangers all within a point of each other, I think we would have all looked at each other and said, okay, what's going wrong here? Is there a team playing really well, or are there two teams playing really badly? But clearly Columbus has been a big surprise.
All right, John Poulter with us, our professor of sports from Toronto. Now, Boxing Day is in Canada. They celebrate, and in the UK, on the 26th of December, the day after Christmas. Steve, here's a quiz. Do you know why they call it Boxing Day?
Because that's when you return all the boxes to the store with the gifts you didn't want?
Wrong.
Okay. Oh, he's way off there. He's way off there.
Okay, I learned that back in the old days in the UK, the poor, you would give gifts to the poor, John? Is that it?
Yeah, it goes back hundreds of years. And my understanding is that the day after Christmas, before it was given any name, was when the wealthy would sort of take the gifts that they did not want or they had duplicates of or felt that they didn't really need, and they would put them in boxes. And they would take them to their servants and the hired help, as it were, which in those days, of course, for the aristocracy was quite a common thing to have hired help. And they would basically take their, quote, leftovers, give them to their staff as a show of gratitude for the work that they had done over the past 12 months. They would put them in a box, give them the box, and in the box would be 8 or 10 different things, perhaps, that they didn't feel they had a need for. And the boxing was actually put the act of putting the stuff in the box. It's got nothing to do with guys with gloves pounding each other, and it's got nothing to do with going back to the department stores with boxes, as Steve thought it might be. It's a very old tradition. It probably doesn't happen today, but England obviously has a tremendous amount of history. And that, to my understanding, is how it started. That's how we were always taught in school, and I went to school in England. So my memory's pretty good, so I think we can probably say that that's still the tradition.
Were you going to say something on that, Steve, or no?
I was just more so thinking along the lines of trying to get a hold of you the other day. I actually had a very nice conversation with your lovely wife. David was out shopping for the holidays, and I said, I'm pretty sure that Dave's gift list is beer, 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 beer and brats.
No, that's for receiving. Oh. I don't give that. That's what
That's right. You give cheap beer, cheap beer, cheap beer, and generic brats.
And generic brats?
You know, like, or you go brats. In the store. Remember the movie? Remember the movie Repo Man, where he goes into the store and everything is generic? It says toilet paper, chips, beer. So you want the generic brats?
Okay, I didn't know if you said generic brats or generic broads. So, and I don't know any generic broads. Anyway, John, why we even got into this is because on the 26th of December, it's big a big day in soccer. So, Steve, why don't you bring us into this soccer segment and why that's a big day? And
16 of the 20 teams are all playing on Boxing Day, with only, you know, two matches on the following Tuesday and Wednesday. Ironically, John, if you look at the slate, I don't really see any killer matchups. You know, in the NBA, when they do their basketball, they try to get some prime matchups. You know, they've got a rematch of the NBA Finals and other high profile games. But I'm looking at this slate, I don't really see anything that just jumps out at me and says, "Wow, I got to see that match."
No, there hasn't, and it's an interesting situation this year because of the way the calendar falls. You very often or traditionally will see a game on the Saturday before the Christmas holidays, and then you'll see a game on Boxing Day. But this year, with them being only 2 days apart, all the games have been moved to Monday. I think there's one on Tuesday, and I think there's one on Wednesday.
Correct.
But before we get into that, I do have some breaking news. Just learned that in the last 15 minutes, Crystal Palace and Alan Pardew, their manager, have agreed to part ways. Looking at the two press releases, it doesn't seem like they were at the same meeting when this was discussed, because Pardew is basically saying he was asked to step down, and Crystal Palace are saying they feel it's time to make a change. Clearly, he's leaving with a footprint on his back, and it's a very interesting situation because he left a reasonably good job at Newcastle United, one of England's primary big-time clubs, although not successful on the field in recent years, but certainly one of the, quote, big-time clubs. To go back to Crystal Palace, where he had starred as a player many, many years ago. And he always felt that London was where he wanted to manage because that's where he played and that was his original home. He was born and raised in London. Must have been a tough decision for both sides, but it seems that there is a difference of opinion on why it's happened. And Palace are basically saying that, you know, we're going to try and get out there and find somebody, but we don't have anybody in mind at this time. So certainly doesn't sound like it was a friendly parting, but that's hot off the press in the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, you know, when the only derby on the whole slate is Watford and Crystal Palace, that doesn't really get you excited to go watch soccer on the day after Christmas.
No, it does not. It's a funny way to draw up a schedule. You'd think that with the fact that for many, many years we've had a big four or a big five, a big six lately at the top of the Premier League, you'd think that they would have sat down and perhaps done something and had Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, Arsenal, Tottenham, and maybe another team in there all sort of playing each other. You've always got a couple of surprises that come out of the pack. I think Liverpool might be that team this year that has risen to the top that we didn't anticipate seeing them in that top three or four bracket. Same thing with Everton. They're doing very well. We didn't anticipate that. I'm a little surprised that knowing so far ahead of time that that this schedule had to be drawn up and who the teams were going to be that were available, everybody was going to play this weekend. I'm surprised. Excuse me. I'm surprised they haven't done that as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, yeah, one team you haven't mentioned is the leader of the top of the pack is Chelsea. And, you know, they've now got a 6-point lead on Liverpool. They finally seem to have put it all together.
I think Chelsea is playing well. They've made some pretty good signings. It's always been a fairly solid club. But quite frankly, I think stability in the manager's chair with Conte is a big factor there. And I think the players are playing for him. I think Mourinho lost control of that club last year, and it was around this time, I believe, that he was fired. I think it was early to mid-December that he was let go by Chelsea last year. I felt, as did many people in the media in England, felt that he had, in fact, lost the room, to use a North American phrase. And I think Chelsea spent the rest of the season recovering. There was always a whole bunch of uncertainty there about who was going to be re-signed, who wasn't going to be re-signed, and so on and so forth. But they're playing very well this year, and they're full value for their 6-point lead at the top of the division.
Well, yeah, they've got, you know, Diego Costa is leading the league in goals with 12. Sanchez is one behind at 13. Sanchez has 12 goals, and Ibrahimovic from your team, Manchester United, has 11. But at the same time, look at who's sort of in the middle of the pack now. Eden Hazard, who was not having a very good season last year, he's stepped back up. Maybe they've just kind of freed up him in the midfield more. He's creating more chances. And you're right. I mean, that team is definitely playing a lot more to their potential.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, Steve, is the lack of pressure. I've never been a big Jose Mourinho fan, and that was understandable when he was managing teams other than the one that I support. But quite frankly, even though he's now managing the team that I support, I'm still not sold on him as a manager. I've always said that he was a two-year act with a five-year contract, and I still believe that's the case.
Yeah, now, and I don't know, you know, Manchester City, they're certainly in the mix. They're certainly in the Champions League range. Do you think they've underperformed or not?
I think they have, and that surprised me tremendously with a guy, a manager like Guardiola, because he's kind of won everywhere that he's been. Now, having said that, in each of his previous stops at Barcelona and Bayern Munich, he inherited a pretty good team before he started, and he just continued the process that was already in place. And it's similar in Manchester City, where he inherited a pretty good team. He's tweaked it a little bit. I think he's made some changes just to try and get them to play his style, but I still think there's a bit of an adjustment there. Clearly, they're going to be in the mix towards the end of the season. but I'm not so sure that they're in the same class as Chelsea are right now. And I think Arsenal and Tottenham are going to give them one heck of a run for their money for that second spot.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Those are two teams you really haven't talked about. They're certainly within 10 points of the top and within 3 points of 2 and 3. Are, you know, Tottenham, the London club, and Arsenal, they're both London clubs.
They are, and they're, you know, they're teams that go back in the history of British soccer tremendously. I mean, I'm looking now at the tables, and you know, here we are, Arsenal sitting in fourth place. All teams played 17 games, and Tottenham is very close behind. So, you know, they're, like, Tottenham has 33 points, Arsenal has 34, Manchester City 36, Liverpool 37. And then, as we discussed, Chelsea having won their last five, sitting there with 43 points. So it's going to get tight for that fourth spot, which is the last Champions League spot. And we're starting to see a little bit of a break now. Manchester United in sixth place with 30 points. The team right below them is Southampton in seventh with 24. So we're starting to see that gap where that top six is starting to pull away from the rest of the league. And I think that's probably what we're going to see for the rest of the season. I would anticipate that those top six teams are going to fight for those top four positions, and the rest are going to be just hoping to get up there.
All right. Well, Steve and John, good info on soccer. And John, next week it'll be one of our holiday best of shows. So not that you're not one of the best, but I think we're going to have Dip Buckus interviews and Bart Starr. Jim, we're going to go way back into the archives. And so you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we will be talking to you after the first of the year.
Merry New Year.
Yeah, thank you very much. Merry Christmas to everyone who celebrates Christmas, and happy holidays to those that support another holiday at this time
Steve
of year.
Steve does. Steve does.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Christmas Kwanzaa. No, you say Happy Christmas Kwanzaa.
Yeah, very very special time of year. Everybody needs to be with families, and that's what makes it so special, regardless of what holiday you celebrate.
That's very true, John, and Steve is quite special. Okay, well, you have a great week. We'll talk to you after when we come back after the first of the year. And we want to thank everybody who appeared on the program today, all the interviews that we had, and Kip Lewis from Comcast Sports Chicago. For Steve Leventhal, I'm Packer Dave, saying thank you very much for listening to the program this week. Come back next week. It'll be a lot of fun. Take care. Have a good one. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Get some bears, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. Now you ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
For many of us, the holidays include trips to see family and friends in other towns. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about keeping your home secure while you're gone right after this.
Concerned about grout staining? Worry no more. New Fusion Pro Single Component Grout from Custom Building Products is a revolutionary new grout with unsurpassed stain resistance built into the formulation. It resists common household stains, and it never needs to be sealed like standard grout. And unlike other stain-resistant grouts on the market, such as epoxy or urethane, Fusion Pro is easy to work with and clean. So no matter if you're tiling yourself or hiring a professional, ask for FusionPro Grout for a beautiful, long-lasting tile installation.
When you leave home, don't advertise to thieves that you're away. Burglars look for dark houses that stay that way, so use timers to make it look like you're at home. If you can, use several timers and program them to turn lights and radios on and off in different rooms at different times. Leave a car parked in the driveway and ask a neighbor to gather all your mail and newspapers or have delivery of them stopped altogether. If you use online networking sites like Facebook or Twitter, be careful that your posts don't tell the world that your house is vacant, and don't share too much information on your answering machine with a message like, "Hi, the Wilsons aren't home this weekend." Otherwise, your house might give you away while you're away. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.